You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Well, we're so excited to be back with you guys one more time before we head over to the Middle East. We're so thankful just for the family here at Hillside. We're so thankful for you guys. It's meant so much over the last 5 years to have you guys just up here giving us support. You just even emotional support, friendship and things like that. And it means so much, you know, even going forward, knowing that you guys are in our corner supporting us. So you guys are very, very dear. And we're so blessed to have you in our life. So today, what I wanted to share with you guys is wanted to kind of do a little bit of a look back through the past year, through 2020, talk about what I feel like the Lord was really putting on our hearts through 2020. And how we can maintain those lessons this year as the world changes and kind of gets normal-ish. We're not in a lockdown anymore, so it's normal-ish. And then even just talk a little bit about the pruning of the Lord and things like that. But I think pretty much everybody prophesied, like, 2020 is the vision year. We're going to have clear vision. It's 2020. Did anybody else think that? Don't tell me it's just me. You're like, 2020, I have clear vision. It wasn't as exciting as we thought it was going to be. I was like, oh. But I felt like it was like when you get like the smudges wiped off your glasses and you're like, oh, I can see now. But I think it was also like the Lord was really shining a light in some dark places, both like individually and in our hearts. And also as a body. And it's kind of like when you finally get to that like way back corner of your kitchen and you're like, hey, ooh, that's scary. Like there's like a whole family of dust bunnies back there. And how is there spaghetti sauce? I don't even know. Like your kid left a toy back there. You found another kid you didn't even know you had. No. I'm kidding. Sometimes Caleb and I joke about that when we're like cleaning out the couch and we find like all this stuff. We're like, we're gonna find another kid in here.
I think the Lord really spoke a lot of things that I think are very important. This past year, 2020, was very unique in the way that it was very much a shared experience, and we all have hard things happen. There's hard things that go on every year, but I think it's a little unique in like literally everyone was affected this year, especially by the pandemic. There's so many things that happened, right? We had job losses, experiencing isolation, homeschooling. If you weren't already homeschooling, now you're homeschooling. Struggling with fear, feeling bored, your toilet paper running out. Never thought that would be a problem I would have in America, but here we are. Or actually getting COVID, having to cancel plans you were looking forward to. The political division was crazy. We all made bread. Who made bread? Who got on a bread kick? Just me. I made Dutch oven bread a couple times, A+. Who else struggled with like feeling so guilty about like how much screen time your kids were having? You're like, it's been like 4 hours and it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah. It was a hard year. So I think it was a hard year for a lot of us. I had a lot of days that really left me feeling very broken and feeling inadequate. We were very, very fortunate. Caleb never had to stop working. He was considered an essential worker doing construction. But I really struggled being stuck at home alone with the kids. And I wasn't able to go do a lot of like the stay-at-home mom stuff that I typically do, like go to my Bible study or go do play dates or even do little outings and things like that. And our neighborhood playground was even closed. So I had my house and my backyard, and that was it. I really felt trapped a lot of the time. I struggled mentally a lot. And so much of the time, I really felt so weak. I felt so sure I would break. I got overwhelmed so many days. But the beauty of all that difficulty was God's love really sustaining me. And a lot of that time, I felt very, very alone. But when I look back, I see God's grace in it all. I really enjoy journaling. That's something that's really helpful for me just to kind of get all my thoughts and feelings out. I'm more like introspective internal processor, so it kind of helps to get that all, stop swirling around my brain on paper. But one of the things I really love to do at the end of the year is just kind of reflect on the year and just thank the Lord for the things that he has done in my life. And I found this verse that really summed up my year well. Right, I was reading a psalm right before I started journaling, and it happened to open to Psalm 21. And Psalm 21, verse 7 says, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." Is that such a good word? The steadfast love of the Most High keeps you from being moved. So yeah, this year was a lot of challenges, but really I see the love of the Lord just kind of, I don't know, just kind of being smeared over like all the cracks and holding everything together. I really also felt like this was very much a sifting season. Did anyone else feel like they're getting sifted and pruned and shaken up? Yeah, okay. It was a lot. But I want to talk a little bit about that pruning process, do a review of the teachings I felt the Lord speaking throughout the year. And talk a little bit about defining pruning and sifting. Do you guys ever see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, that kids animated movie? Okay, so you know the dad is like, he's like, doesn't know how to talk to his kids, so he keeps like saying stuff like, he's a fisherman, he's like, when you cast your line, sometimes you don't always catch a fish, or like saying all this weird stuff, and his son is like, Dad, I don't understand fishing metaphors. And sometimes when I like read the Bible, there's so much farming metaphors, I'm like, I feel like, Jesus, I don't understand these farming metaphors. So. So I'll describe some of them to you because I looked some up. But the first one I want to talk about is pruning. If you guys want to turn, I want to read the whole passage there from Jesus about that. But then John 15, 1 through 11, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that you may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So the whole like purpose of this, I think you guys, Steve has talked a lot about pruning, I think, before. I remember pruning from him talking about it. And if you don't know, you've not been paying attention. But pruning, you know, essentially is cutting away the dead things. I do it to my basil plant when I'm like, one of them gets all brown, I have to cut it off because the dead one is sucking all the life and all the planty stuff. I don't know. I don't do biology. The plant stuff can't go, the nutrients can't go to the stuff that's alive, and then they don't grow as well. But this verse 8 right here is really key. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." This is the point of the pruning. Like, pruning hurts. Newsflash, it hurts. And it's not always like the most fun thing when the Lord pulls something away. But the point is, the Lord wants us to bear much fruit, and we have to be strong to bear much fruit. There's also the word of the threshing floor, and I think this is a little bit more corporate. And John the Baptist says this, to the Pharisees in Matthew 3, 1 through, or I'm sorry, 11 through 12. And he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Caleb was actually telling me about this threshing, winnowing thing earlier this year. Threshing is pretty much trying to break. You have your wheat and you have the shell, which is the chaff, but inside that shell is like the edible grain. And so the wheat will get threshed to break the chaff away from the grain, but the grain and the chaff have to be separated. So winnowing is this kind of ancient farming technique, or I don't know. I think in some areas of the world they still use it, but they take a winnowing fork, which kind of looks like a pitchfork, and you kind of scoop it in the grain and you throw it up in the air. And sometimes, and it's supposed to be the wind blows away the chaff, and the good grain that's heavy falls down. In some places, they even do, like, they'll have, like, a threshing room and then windows in the top to kind of have, like, an air circulating through. And this word, I feel like, is much more of a corporate word. I feel like the Lord is, like, tossing us. Did anyone feel tossed? Did you feel tossed? Yeah, I felt tossed. And I think the Lord is tossing us and maybe even allowing some things to happen that will offend us. But it's to reveal the things that have become too dear and are not actually a part of his gospel. And he's saying, you have to let this go. This isn't of me. In 1 John 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And I think these things that creep in, they're usually like more cultural things, especially on a corporate level. They kind of slowly creep in and we kind of get comfortable with them. Sometimes it's a little hard for us to, I think this really gets revealed when you go on a missions trip. We can go overseas and kind of realize, like, we have church, but we have like a lot of American things. And this church, they're doing church, but they're not doing it the same way. But it's just because we've Americanized it, which isn't necessarily wrong, as long as we still are holding true to the gospel. But these things, they can become a part of our language, and they can be things that we talk about and prioritize, but they aren't actually the teachings of Jesus. So here's some things I felt like the Lord was teaching me this year. I really felt like overall the Lord was really just drawing us all in closer to him. I feel like there was a lot of difficulty, but he was just kind of inviting us, like, why don't you just like scooch in a little closer to me? Why don't you just lean on me a little bit more? And the first thing I really felt the Lord had spoken was realizing what's actually important and valuing what's actually important. And I think a big thing when we had, you know, the shutdown back in March is like, we don't have anything to do. You know, we lost all like our extracurricular activities and, all these like things that we do to keep ourselves busy. And I often myself feel like I don't have enough hours in the day. Does anyone else feel like that? Like there's not enough hours in the day. One of my friends, she told me something so wise, earlier this year. She said, I feel like there's not enough hours in the day, but the Lord made the day with the right amount of hours in it. And I'm like, oh, that's a good word. Anyway, that one was free. but suddenly, you know, we had the shutdown and it's like, we didn't have anything to do. We have a very free schedule all of a sudden. And I realized like how much of my time was kind of filled with fluff and just busyness, but maybe actually more like distractions. And I do like to stay busy, especially as a mom, you know, when you're home alone with kids who cannot speak. You know, Eva's starting to like, I can have a conversation with her. So that's been much more enjoyable. But when you have little people and the only way they can communicate is crying for days and days on end, like it's a little draining, just a bit. But I realized like a lot of this, these busy things that I do, sometimes these are actually robbing me of time to be spent with the Lord, because I always think, oh, I don't have enough time to spend with Jesus. I don't have enough time to pray every day. I don't have enough time to read my Bible every day. I was like, I might be like actually robbing myself of that time by all these things that I feel like I have to do. And I think we also realized we're probably doing like way too much as a family, even over committing ourselves. It was weird, but also nice just to be able to be home as a family every night and just have more time to rest and more time to spend with the kids and everything like that. So realizing what was important and valuing that was the first one. The second one is understanding my time and my reality within the perspective of heaven. I get very wrapped up in my everyday world. I am extremely detail oriented. I can get very, very overwhelmed by all the, because I'm thinking about all the things. Caleb will like tell me like, what if we do this thing? And I've like thought about like the 15 steps it will take to get to that thing that he wants to do. I'm like, no, can't do it. Can't do it. But Caleb's the very big picture, and I'm very like detailed. So he tells me all of his ideas, and I can. We were reading about our personality types like a month ago or something. Our Myers Briggs, and Caleb's the type of personality is very like big picture, very like good at casting vision and things like that. And I'm very like detail oriented. It says I have a practical imagination, which I felt like, I don't think those words belong next to each other, but whatever. We were reading about how our Myers Briggs interact, and they were like, this person can be like a wet blanket to you, shooting down all of your wonderful ideas. And I was like, I'm offended. Anyway, I can get very overwhelmed because I think about these details all the time, think about all the things that we have to do and stuff like that. Even just when I'm like sometimes sitting down trying to pray, I'm like, I have to figure out what to do about this and this and this. So anyway, so all my day-to-day can get very overwhelming. But the reality is this time is very, very small in compared to our eternity that we have to spend with Jesus. James 4:14 says we're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And I have to really keep in my heart and my head and like remember that this is only like a small thing in comparison to the eternity that's awaiting for me. And or even like 5 years from now, like some of these things I get so upset about, especially like my big thing is like having a clean house and wanting things to be organized and things like that. And, you know, even like 5 years from now, it's probably not going to matter. That laundry that I'm like so desperate to put away that's like climbing up the walls. I mean, it won't matter in 5 years, whatever. And I think, you know, what's more lasting is me loving on my kids and spending time with my family. I'll share this one too. Something that the Lord told me, I think it was 2 summers ago, right after I had Israel. He told me, like, your clean house is an idol. I'm like, oh man, who? Jesus. I wasn't ready for that one. No, but I was like, oh crap, it is. Because I was like, man, I so often think like, okay, I will clean the house and then I'll sit down and journal and read my Bible. Okay, I like clean the whole house like maybe once a month. It's like perfectly clean. And like the Lord was like showing me like, man, you're letting like this clean house kind of like dictate like your mood and your emotions and everything like that. And that's kind of what you're serving. So, dang. Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't a 2020 lesson. That was 2019. I'm still working on that one. But another one is, the second one is understanding my time and reality and perspective of heaven. The third one is embracing my weakness and trusting and relying on God. This year, I think the top thing I prayed for was, God, give me strength. God, give me strength. God, I need strength. I need strength. And a lot of the time, I really felt very inadequate and very frustrated with myself. And a lot of the time, honestly, I felt like I was failing. And I kept praying, like, God, make me stronger so I can accomplish all these things. And I was essentially praying for, like, endless energy so I can do all my chores and then feel good about myself at the end of the day. And I realized I was praying for God to like strengthen my own strength, if that makes sense. And I was wanting to continue. I wanted strength so I could continue to be self-sufficient. And I was like, I was praying this a lot and feeling frustrated. And I was like, what is that verse again about weakness from 2 Corinthians? So I flipped to it and I was like, oh, I'm praying the wrong thing. Whoops. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it actually says, so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I realized I was praying for strength so that I could continue to keep taking care of everything on my own. And I hated my own weakness, but yet Paul shows that weakness is where God can work because of our human nature is out of the way. And we'll actually allow God to work, and we won't take the credit, and we will allow him to be glorified. And really what I have to do is surrender my pride and my self-sufficiency and let God be my strength. And embracing weakness takes a lot of humility, but it allows God to be glorified in us. So those were some of the main things I really felt like the Lord was putting on my heart this year, kind of teaching and refining in me. And he might have spoken something different for you and your situation. But I feel like these lessons, whatever the Lord was telling you in this tumultuous time, are very key and very important for this next season. I think the Lord is pruning and shaping us to be able to carry the next season. I feel like it's like the Lord is like rearranging the scenery to set the stage for the next scene of the play of this world. It's very theatrical. It's so dramatic. God's dramatic. Have you guys noticed? You read the Bible, you're like, all right, thunder, lightning, like, okay. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like the Lord's setting the stage for something new, but we have to be able to carry it. So the question is, how do we maintain these lessons, right? Knowing what's important, keeping our eyes on the bigger picture of eternity, embracing our weakness when the distractions come back in. As an adult, I'm finding out the older I get, the more and more distracted I am because I have more responsibilities. The older I get, I'm like, I keep thinking, man, when I was like single, I had like nothing going on. And like, man, before we had kids, we had like nothing going on. And now I feel like I'm drowning. So, school, being in school, raising kids, working a part-time job, fundraising, it's a lot. This fall's been a lot. But it's been good though. It's been really, really good. But it's a lot. It's a lot. I want to talk now about like, okay, so how do we keep this practice of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus? And I want to share a little bit of some of the ministry culture that's we've been picking up since our time being with MAPS. And one of the things that they have a lot of sayings and acronyms, and I can't keep them all straight some of the time. But one of the things they have is having your rhythm of life. So that's like your routine. One of the things they really stress is having a routine of prayer and worship and refocusing on Jesus and who he is. And I think, you know, routine, sometimes we think like, oh, routine is empty. That's just, you know, religion. But routine is very, very important because you are not always going to feel like praying. I do not always feel like praying. I will admit it. I do not always feel like praying. I'm not in the mood sometimes. But routine really forces you to command your soul to give focus to the Lord. Something else that we'll say sometimes is like, before we start school, it's like, we need to pray in the spirit because I woke up feeling crusty. My heart feels crusty, and I need to pray and get focus on the spirit. Sometimes we'll say crusty. You woke up and you had like crusties on the eyes of your understanding. So gotta pray and get the crusties off. Another thing that we do with MAPS, something that both the students and the staff all does, is we pray. We have corporate prayer and worship. 8 in the morning till 9 in the morning. So when everyone comes in, the first thing we do is pray for an hour. And then we also have worship and intercession from noon until 1. Everybody stops what they're doing, stops writing emails, stops teaching, whatever, and we all go and pray and worship together. And it's so cool, and it feels very wrong in the sense of it's very contrary to like that American work culture. That's 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So it's 10 hours a day, 10 hours a week that are spent in the prayer room, not getting things done. But we're getting things done because we're keeping our hearts focused on Jesus. And it's like that keeping our eyes on Jesus, because we stop everything because Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy of us dropping everything and spending the middle hour of our day to focus on him. It's really great. Another thing that I really like at like the work whiteboard in the office area, they just have this little thing in the bottom corner that says like presence and then the greater than symbol work. Presence is greater than work. And I think that's just so cool, like, to remember, like, God's presence is greater than, like, the work that we're doing. So it's really great. Another thing, so having that routine of prayer, or prayer and worship, or whatever it is that you feel like needs to be a part of your rhythm of life. And then another one is paying attention to your soul. And a great way to pay attention to your soul is having the right relationship with your emotions. I think we can live in kind of two extremes. We can either have emotions are driving. It's, if your life is a car, emotions are the driver, and you're doing absolutely whatever you feel like. If you want to snap at somebody, you snap at somebody. If you want to cry, you cry. If you want to laugh, you laugh. You do absolutely whatever you feel like, because emotions are driving the car. Or we can swing like completely the other way, and you're like, I am not going to let my emotions control me. And it's like you've tied them up and put duct tape over their mouth, and they're in the trunk of the car. Completely silent. Something that our pastoral care leader at MAPS has said, I don't know if he's made this up or not, if he read it in a book, but he described passengers are the emotions are the passenger of your car, right? They can give directions. They can say, hey, we should probably stop, or hey, why don't we put some music on? But we don't have to silence them or let them have control. It's like a great little in-between spot. Anyway, that was helpful for me. I hope it's helpful for you. But something that I had to, like, kind of ask myself, like, if I'm getting, like, irritated and frustrated all the time, like, I'm getting crusty, right? Like, am I not, are my emotions revealing that I'm not focused on the Lord right now? And very subconsciously, I can be very quick to blame, like, my circumstances and what's going on around me for my unrest. And I feel, like, this need of, like, I need to have things settled. I need to have the house cleaned. That's a big one. Or I just need to get, like, some things taken care of before I can settle down and rest. And the reality is it needs to be the other way around. And it really does take a lot of energy to, like, turn your face away from those things and just focus on the Lord. But we have to focus on the one who truly gives life. And also, like, even just a practical thing. Like, for me, if I'm sitting in my living room trying to, like, journal or read the Bible, and I can see, like, I haven't cleaned up from dinner, I have a very hard time focusing. But it's so worth taking that energy to, like, to say no to what seems important, to focus on what's actually important. So another one that's been helpful for me is allowing times of silence or even prayerful silence to process your life. Does anyone enjoy sitting in silence? Okay, I hate it. I do not like it. I'm so bored. I hate driving with, like, nothing on or doing chores. I love having, like, music or a podcast on or, like, playing a YouTube video or something like that. And I think this is a little bit some of the negativity of being a millennial. But I just have, like, that information flow all the time because I'm like, dude, I could be, like, learning something from NPR while I'm cleaning the kitchen, like, or I could be alone with my thoughts. I'd rather learn something on an NPR podcast. But I have a hard time just, like, sitting or even just, like, not scrolling before I go to bed and stuff like that. And these things aren't, like, necessarily bad. It can be a good way to pass the time and things like that. Or it can end up really distracting us from our emotions. And sometimes we distract ourselves even. I do this. I distract myself sometimes on purpose, especially when life is hard. And I'm like, if I just sit here, I'm just going to feel frustrated or, you know, feel sad or something like that, and I just need some noise on, so I'm not alone with my thoughts. But it can help pass the time, or it can end up being very distracting. And I've been trying to be a little bit more intentional of having quiet time at work. Caleb and I do this cleaning job, and we're the only ones there, and it's completely quiet. So sometimes I'll, like, put a podcast on or music or something, but I've been trying to, like, just let me just maybe just work for an hour, not, like, listen to something. I don't always like it. I'll be real. Like, sometimes I have a lot of nights where I end up feeling very frustrated, or I, like, just end up crying about something. But it's been so worth it to take the time to allow, like, the Lord to kind of, like, bring those things up, or even just to allow my heart to kind of work on a lot of things. There's been stuff that's, like, come up from, like, a couple years ago that I've kind of been ignoring. And in the long run, it's really helping me process some things from the past and some things that are happening right now that I just don't have time to think about it. But it allows the Lord to actually heal me. So that's A+. So, so the question is, so why is it important for us to maintain these lessons, right? Why is it important for us to prioritize these things of, like, you know, keeping the first thing first, you know, remembering the perspective of heaven. I forgot my last one. I don't know. What was my last one? Oh, embracing our weakness. Yes. But so why is it important that we keep these things in the forefront? Why should we bother with these things? The reason is that the Lord wants us to bear much fruit, right? We're not just saved only for our own sake, right? It's not just a self-help gospel. The Lord heals us, and it's amazing, and it's so valuable, right? But the Lord calls us, actually, the greater call is to obey his commandments and fulfill the Great Commission, right? The pruning and the threshing that comes in the process can be very painful or can be difficult, but it is so, so valuable. And I want to share a little bit of a quote. It's a little bit long. We're going to have it up on the screen so you can read along. R.A. Martinez, the director of the, or vice president of the ministry that we are with, wrote a book called The Joseph Journey. It came out over the summer. It is $10 on Amazon. It is probably like one of the top 5 books that has changed my life. I highly, highly recommend. It's like a little over 100 pages. I really recommend you read it. But he just kind of goes through Joseph's journey through life and even the way that the Lord was instructing Joseph throughout his life and preparing him for, you know, his ultimate fulfillment, which was, you know, saving Egypt. But he goes in and talks about all the things that happened to Joseph and how they even apply to our own life. It's very, very, it's A+. Great book, 5 stars. All right. But this quote from the Joseph Journey, it says, "The Lord is preparing the body of Christ to carry the weight of his glory in the coming days. The measure of that weight and the assignments that are entrusted to us correspond with our response in the grace of God to his leadership lessons in every season. The Father's disposition towards us is one of favor. He magnifies his glory on the earth when the saints bear much fruit. He is not interested in your life only bearing a little fruit. Instead, he has you on a journey that will bring forth fruit from your life and has the potential to shift and disciple nations. Jesus is looking for something radically different than the world is looking for in terms of leadership potential. The world is looking for giftedness, intelligence, charisma, and skill sets. Jesus is looking for purity, love, humility, and a willing spirit. Our response to his leading might not look perfect every time, but if we respond to him sincerely, even in our weakness, his editing process of our mistake, called mercy, is perfect and generous." I think that was so good. I read that. I was like, I can't rewrite that. That's great. I won't reinvent the wheel. I'll just read that. So, but the reason for all this pruning and this growing is for us to be able to bear much fruit, and the Lord wants to be able to use us. Want to talk a bit about, you know, one of the things that I've experienced is getting very frustrated in the pruning process. The whole past couple years, the Lord's really been working a lot in Caleb and I's hearts. And I had a moment where I was very, very tired of it this fall, and I was kind of like starting to give up in my heart. I really felt very spiritually and emotionally exhausted. And I wasn't really sure if I wanted to continue on anymore. And Caleb kept telling me, he's like, "The Lord's building character in you." And I'm like, "I have enough character. I'm good. All right. I'm done." The Lord really, spoke to me, and I was at like a very, very weak point, guys. I told the Lord, like, you gotta tell me something, or I might be done. And the Lord spoke to me and reminded me of dreams he had given us. And he reminded me of the people that I would be saying no to if I said no to the assignment that the Lord had put on our heart. And I cried a lot, and I was like, okay, I'll keep going. So, but, you know, what if David had, you know, while he was running in the wilderness from Saul, what if he had said, "This is too hard. I forfeit my succession to the throne, Saul. You can just have it. Please stop chasing me," right? We wouldn't have had the Tabernacle of David. Solomon wouldn't have been able to build the temple if he had said no. If Joseph had given up when he was in prison, right, his family all would have died, so Israel wouldn't exist, and all of Egypt would have died. Probably the whole known world would have died. And they all would have starved to death with a famine. But because Joseph was in the right place at the right time, on the journey that the Lord had him on, he was able to save everybody. And someone is waiting for you to bring the light of the gospel to them. And your assignment is very, very much worth you pressing on for. So I'm going to have Caleb come up and play the keys for a little bit. And I'm just going to share a few more encouraging words with you guys. And I'm going to pray for a little bit. And I'm just going to allow a few minutes for the Lord to speak. But I want to just encourage you guys, if you are in that sort of place where the pruning is getting hard and you're not sure you want to continue on, I want to read 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 17, which says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." There are some eternal things that are so worth pouring our lives out for. And who knows what the Lord wants us to take part in down the line. Who knows? We could even alter history like Joseph did. If we press on, we will get to partner with him in this work. So I want to spend just a little time. You can go. Just talking. I want to spend a little time for each of us just to kind of reflect on our spiritual growth. What did you feel like the Lord was showing you this past year? Are you remembering to keep the first things first? Is the Lord trying to prune something out of you that maybe you're hanging on to? Or are you even feeling like you're in a spot where the pruning has left you feeling very weak and you're not sure if you want to continue? One of the very beautiful things about Jesus is he always knows exactly what to say. He always has the perfect thing to say. A couple of times this year, I was really crying out to the Lord, like, "You have to give me a word. I'm in such a weak spot. I need a word." And Jesus always said the exact right thing that I need to hear that just really cut to my heart in such a great way. And always got to like the root of like whatever my fear or my unbelief was. The things that he spoke would get to the need that I didn't even know I had. Even that like weak moment that I had earlier this fall when I was thinking about, you know, I'm not sure if I want to continue on. Like, I didn't even want to continue on for me. I was over it. And the Lord was like, reminded me. He actually, one of the things that the Lord has shown us, Caleb had a dream a couple of years ago seeing children in a certain country where there's a huge orphan crisis. And we've just kind of felt like the Lord might have the orphans in that country. This country, I think there's 800,000 orphans because of a recent crisis. And we really feel like the Lord might have a mothering and fathering assignment on us for them. And I had a book I had checked out from the library like before COVID, and then the library closed, so I've just kind of held on to it. Also, Eva tore it, so I've been hanging on to it. But it's a children's book. It's a storybook, but it has a photography of refugee children. And I just cried over this book, seeing these faces of these children that need a mother and a father. And just feeling like the Lord pressing on my heart, "You have to say yes to them." And just seeing their sweet faces and knowing I can't say no to them. I can't refuse them. So the Lord is so, so good. He will speak to you. If you're crying out for the Lord and saying, "I need a word," he will speak to you. He wants you to succeed. The Lord wants you to succeed. The Lord has never failed me when I've cried out to him for a word. He's always come and spoken to me. He always comes in his great mercy and speaks the right thing to me and speaks to me in love. And he's always right. It's so wonderful. I want to just share one word that I have for the house of Hillside, and I'm going to pray a little bit. But I was in the prayer room earlier this week and just praying for Hillside and seeing if the Lord had any a word that he wanted me to give you guys. And I saw a picture of the sanctuary in here, and I saw it was all wet with droplets, like morning dew. I like saw the morning dew like on the chairs. I looked up morning dew in Merriam-Webster. And the second definition says something resembling dew in purity, freshness, or power to refresh. And then I found this verse in Isaiah 27:19 that says, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. And I really feel like the Lord's bringing Hillside into a refreshing season, both for the people and just for the spirit of the house. And I feel like people will really like just feel that spirit of refreshment coming in, especially visitors just feel like that refreshment walking in the doors. And I even feel like it will be a refreshment that continues to come consistently, just like the dew comes every morning. So I'm just going to pray for a minute, and then we're going to just allow a few minutes. You can stay in your seat. You can come up front and kneel down. But we're just going to leave a few minutes of just silence with the piano and just allow the Lord a few minutes to speak to you. And then Steve or James will come up and close. But Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for each of the beautiful spirits here today, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for the journey that you have each of them on. I thank you so much just for the way that you work in each of their lives, that you have great things planned ahead for them. Thank you, Lord, that nothing goes to waste with you, that you use everything. So thank you for the way that you beautifully and gently lead us. Lord, I ask that we just surrender and allow you to lead us. I ask that we just surrender our self-sufficiency and our pride and just trust with a childlike faith that you know the way. Lord, I just ask for the things that you're trying to prune in our hearts, Lord. I ask that you would give the grace for us to be able to let them go. And whatever it is that you're opening our eyes to see, things that maybe aren't of you, Lord, I ask that you would give us the strength to be able to remove them and the humility to be able to let them go. Thank you for your refreshing, Lord Jesus. Way that you come in with your peace and your mercy and your grace. I love the way that you always want relationship with us more than anything else. Your heart's desire is always just for relationship, just for us to rely on you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.